I hope you came to hear from God tonight. Some really don't know what to expect when they come to crusades like this. And then some know exactly what to expect. And then there's always that element who kind of pick and choose what kind of religious tidbits come through their city. And they taste a bit here and taste a bit there until they find one palatable. And, you know, we kind of got a spiritual smorgasbord today. If you don't like the guy on one station, or you don't like the guy at that church, and you can go over here and find another church, you can find one just to fit your taste, just about whoever you are. And it's sad, really, because there's only one brand of Jesus. That's the Bible brand, the real brand. And there's lots of counterfeit Jesuses, there's lots of pseudo-Jesuses, and we live in a day when we've kind of got a Burger King religion. Just have it your way. You know, you go to church and you say, oh, I don't like that kind of preaching. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. Hold the conviction. I'll have a little concert, but don't give me none of that preaching on righteousness. Don't talk to me about repentance, man. I just want to live my sin, and I'll enjoy this. Praise the Lord Jesus. And I really don't want to get too committed. But listen, if you really want to be free, you will only find that in total commitment to Jesus. We got a lot of people today that are blinded by the devil. I believe the devil is alive. I believe he stalks about this world. In fact, he may have his headquarters in this city. He's certainly got some head demons here, I'll tell you that. You say, well, I don't believe in the devil. You will. About 2 seconds after you hit hell, you'll believe. Bible doesn't give a real detailed study of Satan. Just say he was one of the archangels or one of the highest created beings, and he chose to rebel against God. And did you know that he declared war on God? And he rallied billions and billions of other angels in heaven to his side, and there was a great civil war in heaven. And he lost. Amen. And he still loses. And God kicked him out of heaven, and he didn't kick him into hell. He kicked him down to earth, and he's got millions and millions of little demons now, those fallen angels, that are with him, attempting to accomplish his purposes on this world. And I want to tell you something tonight. He hates you. Satan has a ministry to you tonight. He has a ministry. His aim is to kill and to destroy you. He wants to possess and control you. You say, Phil, do you believe people can be possessed by demons? Yes. Yes. You say, well, who can be possessed by demons? Anybody that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord. And then after you're born again, Satan fights you. You see, you're on his side, some of you, so he's not really worried about you. But when you give your life to Jesus, you have declared war on the devil. And he'll hate you. And the world's going to hate you. That's why they lash out against the preachers. All the preachers. I saw a little cartoon of Jerry Falwell in the paper today. Typical liberal press. Newsweek magazine put out an article a few weeks ago. I believe it was Newsweek on Jimmy Swaggart. You know what they're complaining against? Jimmy Swaggart's a man of God, wasn't it? It doesn't matter. You know, we don't all agree on everything. But Jimmy Swaggart's preaching Jesus. And I like Jimmy Swaggart because he preaches Jesus. Amen. No kidding. We're not in competition. But they said Jimmy's got a nice watch. And Jimmy's got a nice car. The preacher's got something nice. Now that upsets a lot of people. Of course, they don't say that old pervert who runs the Playboy's got a nice watch and nice car, much nicer. They don't say that the Budweiser brewers have got nice cars and nice watches, but they say the man of God's got something nice. What a sin. What a crime. They don't say that ungodly individual who puts out Hustler magazine, Larry Flint, who said the other day in the newspaper, "I'm a born-again atheist." They don't say he's got a nice watch. They don't say he's got a nice car. They just want to find something wrong with a man of God. And the devil will, he'll do that. Man, he'll move against your mind. You better be careful about the people who are talking about your pastor. Don't be in that group. You stand with the men of God. Satan is out to kill you. And here's a man that he tried to set against the purposes of God. In verse 2, we're going to read in Mark, it says, "And when he," speaking of Jesus, "was come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit," or with demons, if you would. "And this man had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, for he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. This man had a supernatural power, and neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But listen, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and he said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.'" Now, that's the theology of a lot of people. Incidentally, that's the theology of this demon. If I come to Jesus, he's going to hurt me. If I come to Jesus, he's going to crack my style. If I come to Jesus, I'm not going to have as much fun. I'm really not going to be living. You see where that theology comes from? From a demon. "Don't torment me, Jesus." And he said unto the man, or to the demon who was in the man, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. And then it talks about how there was a great herd of swine, bunch of pigs feeding on the hill, and Jesus spoke to the demons, and he commanded them to go into the pigs. Someone said, "That's where we got devil ham." I'm not sure about that. But he commanded these demons to go into the swine, and the swine ran into the river and the lake, and they killed themselves. Pigs got more sense than most people. They'd better be dead than controlled by Satan. You say, "I'm not controlled by Satan." I'll tell you something. Everyone else here tonight are controlled by somebody. There's no free spirit. And some of you think, "Well, I'm my own man, or I'm my own woman." No, you're not. You belong to the Spirit of God, or you belong to the devil. And some of you think you belong to God. You think he's your father. See, he's not. Some of you really don't know Jesus. You just kind of got a wrong Jesus. You see, you got a pseudo-Jesus. You know, a lot of religious people came to Jesus one day. They said, "Hey, Jesus, we're sons of God. We're sons of Abraham." And Jesus looked at him. He said, "You bunch of serpents." He said, "You hypocrites." He said, "You vipers." They said, "Don't talk to us like that. We're religious. We have a father, and his name is God." And Jesus said, "Your father is the devil." And he said, "I'll tell you how I know your father's the devil." He said, "Because you do the works of your father, the devil." You can tell who you belong to by the manifestation of your life, the fruit of your way. Your life is producing righteousness and holiness and a godly testimony, or it's producing ungodly testimony. And I will tell you something. Contrary to popular opinion, there's no middle road. You're either controlled by the Spirit of God or the spirits of Satan. Period. Jesus said there's a broad way, and most of the people in the world are on it. It leads to destruction. And then he said there's a narrow way. It leads to life everlasting. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that are on it. You want to find out if you're right with God tonight? Are you going the way of the crowd? Are you on the majority road? Is your life causing waves with the world? Or are you just kind of passing unnoticed? I'll tell you something, when a person gets full of the Spirit of God, there's going to be trouble. Some of you are looking for a way out. You're looking for an automatic situation where somebody kind of lays their hands on you, and then you just become a great man of God or a great woman of God, and you never have any more problems, and you're filled with the Spirit, and bingo, you've got your package holiness and package power. Let me tell you something. The only way you get full of the Holy Spirit is constant commitment to Jesus Christ daily. And when you have that kind of commitment to Christ, the power of God will rest on your life, and you will not be intimidated by this world. And the reason we're afraid to stand is because we're intimidated by the world and we're intimidated by Satan. And there are many people today in our churches that have parts of their life under demonic control. The Bible says Satan attacks the mind. It says this man's mind was messed up. How do you know that? Because in verse 15 it says, and they came to Jesus and they saw him that was past tense possessed with the demons, and he had he that had their legion, and he was sitting, and he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. Which implies that he was not in his right mind before. You walk up and down the streets of this city, I guarantee you, you'll see the vast majority of people are living like they're out of their minds. And I walked up to some people last night and witnessed to them, talked to them about Christ. Their beer bottles were standing on the table before them, and I began to just try to talk to them about Christ. And man, as soon as I opened my mouth, their heads went down. They wouldn't even look at me in the face. Scared to death. And when you begin to talk truth, I want to listen, it upsets people. This world can't handle truth. They want away from it. That's what's wrong with some of you that come every night. Some of you have been praying this thing hurry to get over. We've run off three or four crowds this week. Some people would rather not come back than get right with God. Isn't that right? And the Bible says, listen to this. It says that Satan blinds minds to the glorious truths of the gospel. You know why people can't? Just can't grasp what you're trying to tell them about the joy and the power and the life that's in Jesus. The Bible says it's because Satan has put blinders over their eyes that they cannot see truth. And there are some that are listening to me right this moment. You've not given your all to Christ. And you've wondered why other people do. And you look at them and you say, well, you know, I just can't see it. And you're telling the truth. You can't because you're blind. And Satan has attacked the mind of this country. And some of you every day, you go home, every night you sit down in front of your television, every time you turn on your radio, you open your mind up to Satan. The networks in our nation, the news media in our nation, the media in this country are totally controlled by demonic forces. Total. Some of you sit down and you watch 5 or 6 hours of prime time perversion as it poisons your mind every night, either in your home, and then you want to go up and sit in church for 1 hour and expect that to wash your mind out and you want to walk with God. No way. Bible says, come out from among them and be a shepherd. Why? Because God does not want his people to be tainted by the power and the corruption that comes from demonic forces. He wants you free. Jesus said, I came to deliver you from the power of Satan. He wants you free. Do you understand that? I mean free. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. He said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. What is the one thing that people all in this country are crying for? Freedom. 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 We are right. But laws can't free you. The Congress can't free you. The Supreme Court can't free you. For the black man, the civil rights codes aren't going to free you. For the white liberal woman, the ERA isn't going to free you. For the homosexual, you're not going to get free through more legislation. You're only going to be free when you give your life to Christ. Totally. This man was messed up. In fact, he was so messed up, not only was he mentally messed up, he was morally messed up. Can't you? The Bible says he didn't wear any clothes and he ran naked through the cemetery. First speaker, there he goes, man. I usually call this message a nude dude in a rude mood. He was totally stripped down and he was streaking back and forth through the cemetery. What has created this craze for nudity in our nation? And in your city, I mean, you can't even go to a nice swimming pool in the city without seeing naked people laying around. You say, that's right, they're pretty sick down there. No, you're pretty sick in here, Colorado. I guarantee you, just several thousand people who come to this thing every night or all this week would go down there to City Hall and demand their rights. You put a stop to some of this garbage. But we don't want to stand up. We don't want to be involved in politics because politics is so dirty. Yeah, it's dirty because Christians won't get involved. And it's going to stay dirty until we get right with God. And the moral situation in this country is going to continue to deteriorate. What's so bad about it is that immorality is not just out there in the world anymore. It's in the church. It's in some of your lives tonight. So many today in our churches are controlled by lust. We're sensual. And that fact is stated by the way we look, by what we watch, by where we go, by how we dress. I'm embarrassed to go into some churches and see how some ladies dress. I'm embarrassed to go into some churches and see how people look like the world. It's so sickening. You expect it at the mall. But you don't shouldn't expect it at the house of God. Boy, you know, everybody, we want to be bold. We want to be in. We want to be cool. We want to get out the world. We want to dress like that. We want to get the slits in our little skirts like them. We want to burn our bras with them. So I just throw away your bra, girls. You're going to look like Granny Grunt in about 5 years. Now, big Granny, baby, just kind of unbutton it. You unbutton your little buttons. You see, you got those buttons on your shirts and blouses. You see them, man? God put them on there so you buck. Amen? You don't want to do that. We want to kind of get a couple of them down. Especially, you know, you go in the average church and most of the time the youth director is trying to be a cool Christian, a macho muchacho, you know, and he wants to, he's got his undone. He's got his gold collar on and he's got his little two or three buttons undone and so everybody can see his one little hair sticking up, you know. Well, he's still. Listen, we don't have to dress like him. We don't have to be like him to reach him. And I don't know when the world's going to learn that we don't have to be like the world to win the world. Jesus called us out of the world. We sound like him. We smell like him. We buy the same products. We watch the same television programs. We go to the same places. Lust has consumed our lives. Our kids are in trouble. Our homes are in trouble. Satan's having a heyday in the lives of most Christians today. The church in most cases is defeated. Scared to death to take his corporate stand because we don't want to endorse anybody's questionable doctrine over here. When the real problem is we're just downright stingy with our people and we're stingy with our money and we don't want anybody to get in the pockets or the personalities of our people because most of us as spiritual leaders are so insecure that we just don't want to get involved. And we're in a sad state of affairs. We are sick to the core. Morally messed up. And nobody could help him. The Bible says no man can tame him. They tried to help this guy. You know, that's so characteristic of people who are controlled by Satan. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. The Bible says he tore off the chains. He tore off the restraints. Every time somebody tried to help him, he said, I don't want it. And he lashed out against them. He didn't like them helping him. And he talked about those that did. He put them down. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. In fact, Time Magazine put out an article a few years ago. It was called The Mood of America. They said there's two predominant moods in America, and here they are. They said, first, Americans are saying there are no absolutes. Anything goes. We believe in situation ethics, and that's what you're getting taught in your public school system through your humanistic liberal educators. And our kids are growing up pagans because we have allowed the pagans to take our children and teach them their pagan theology, and we've not taught them properly the right of God, the word of God. And God says you are not to allow the pagan to touch the palate of your children in the Old Testament. When you touch the palate of a child, the mother and the father, when they taught the child their taste, they did it by touching the palate. They would touch it with whatever they wanted them to learn to like. And as youngsters, they grew up learning certain tastes. And their tastes were molded by whatever touched their palate. And I want you to know the young people and the whole generation has been lost to demonic, devilish, liberal, humanistic teachers and educators and thinkers because Christians have allowed the pagans of this world to touch the palate of our children. We've taught them, hey, you know, anything goes. In fact, we took a survey and one of them, by the way, this was among junior high students, and they found out that 90% of these junior high girls that were interviewed in a survey we took said, we don't think, these were junior high girls, said, we don't think there's anything wrong with having sex with a guy you really love before marriage. Now, folks, they didn't get that in my church. They didn't get it at your church. They got that through a bunch of liars in our schools. And the second philosophy was not only there are no absolutes, but that no one has the right to tell me what to do. And that was some of your attitudes when you left home tonight. That is the attitude of some of you wives here. You say, well, I believe in ERA. Someone says, what's ERA? Stand for. I'll tell you what it stands for. It stands for Eve rebels again. That's better. That's more factual. That's more true. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Let me tell you something. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When you rebel and you say no to the authority that God has set up over you, you are practicing as much as witchcraft. In fact, God says you're blind. You get blinder as you rebel against authority. You rebel against truth. And that's why some people are harder to reach for Christ than others. They said no so many times for truth, and they get callous and insensitive and blind. Upon rejection of authority and truth, you become so blind if you keep going your way and keep rejecting and creep and hold on to your pride that you'll get to the point where God can't even deal with you. The Bible says because they wouldn't receive the love of the truth that God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. You know what's wrong with me? I want to tell you. You know what's wrong with freedom? You believe a lie. And that lie is that you can really live and be free without total commitment to Christ. That's a lie. And you've been deceived. And that's why you worship your body and your appetites and your biological drives. Anton LaVey, who was a priest of one of the biggest churches of Satan in the nation in Los Angeles, runs about 4,000 in his worship services every Sunday. They said, someone asked him, where'd you get all these people? Where'd they all come from? He says, most of the people in our church came from evangelistic, conservative, fundamentalist backgrounds. He You say, well, they must have gone out of churches that didn't preach the truth. No, they came out of churches that preached the truth, but they said no to truth. They said no to Jesus. They said no to life. And they got blind and blinder and blinder. That's why 72% of the men in Huntsville prison are Southern Baptists. Say, well, the Baptists must not have preached them truth. Yeah, they did preach them the truth, but they rejected it. You see, the Bible says in Romans 1 that they wouldn't glorify God, and God gave them up to lie. And this man began to abuse his own body. He set up in the mountains and with stones, the Bible says, he cut himself. And some of you do that. He said, not me. Well, I smoke, I don't drink, I don't chew. Don't go to the girls and do it. You ever seen some of you live in lust? And the Bible says fornication, that's sexual activity outside marriage, is a sin against your own body. And God says that's a sin against your body. As a Christian, now listen to me, listen. God says your body belongs to me. But some of you have given your body to every vile of your flesh, and you're being consumed by your lust. And somebody said, well, I do those terrible things. No, no, you don't. But in Romans 1, there's a very interesting verse. In the last verse of Romans 1, it says this, listen to this. It says, list all the sins that are so predominant in our society. Verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in it to do them. God says, there's a group that know the judgment of God is on those things, and they don't do those things, but they do have pleasure in those who do them. Some of you would never go crawl in bed with your neighbor's wife. But you'll sure watch Superman get in bed with Lois Lane. Think how romantic. And God calls it adultery. You'll watch it on Dallas. Ladies, you watch it on the soap operas. And you have pleasure. Your name is right there. You have pleasure in them that do them. You see how subtle Satan is? For he moves against you. And he's so slick. He's so smart. I mean, he just kind of sneaks up on you. Now look what happened. Here comes Jesus. This man saw Jesus and began to run to Jesus. He had enough snap to know that there was somebody somewhere, surely, that can set me free. Surely there's somebody that can help me. And I believe there's some of you here tonight that feel the same way. The Bible says no man can help him. Verses 3, verses 4, says no man can help him, no one can help him. And some of you tried everybody. You've tried every psychiatrist in town. You've tried every psychologist in town. You've tried the sociologist. You've tried all the allergists. You've gone to the preacher. You've gone to the counselor. You've gone to your friends. And some of you tried a million different self-help therapies to find deliverance of this problem, of that habit, of that thought pattern. And nobody's been able to help you. And this man had gone all through that. He knew it. But he saw Jesus, the Bible says. When he saw Jesus, he went running to Jesus. Folks, he was running the right direction. And some of you don't run to Jesus. You know what you do? You run away from Jesus. In fact, the vast majority of this city and our nation are running to the devil like he was God, and they're running from God like he was the devil. But even in his depravity, this man saw something different about Jesus. It wasn't a religious Jesus hanging still dead on the crucifix that drew this man. It wasn't some dead doctrinal, theological treatise that drew this man. It wasn't just another evangelist preaching some flashy message with great oratory that drew this man. It wasn't some local or nationally known Christian gospel entertainer or celebrity that drew this man. It took something far deeper to help him. It took Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 5, oh, this is so sad. I was reading this today in a hotel room, and I turned to my wife. I said, you know, I've preached along this message so many times, but I never really saw this, Suzanne. I said, listen to this. It says in verse 5, Suzanne, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs. He was trying to hide away from people. He was crying. Did you see that? I knew that. He was crying. He was crying. And I always went on lit and cutting himself to stones. And then I would go on and talk about how people that are controlled by Satan hurt their body with cigarettes and junk and garbage. And go. See, some of you don't have any conviction against when I'm smoking my little pot. You're not like that real intelligent 13-year-old boy, hair down to here one day, stop me. I'm that witness on the streets. Boy, he's mad. His pimples turned all red. He said, don't tell me about pot. Boy, I'm telling about pot. I'm telling about Jesus. He said, don't talk to me about pot. God made pot today alone. I said, I know he made pot. He made poison ivy too, but I don't see that rolling around in it. Sat down by a young lady going to the University of Texas, began to talk to her about Christ. She said, well, I knew there was something different about you when you didn't order a drink. I said, well, man, I don't have to sip it. I got it in me. He, life, lives in me. And this man didn't have anything. The Bible says, look what it says. He was crying. Oh, I tell you, listen to me. Some of you may have walked off of this place Sunday night when that big rock concert was going on across the street. God, let's get away from all this garbage, these people and these bikers and these dopers and these hippies and freaks. Let's get out of here as quick as we can. Let's get in, let's get out. You might not have been touched by the heartbreaking thing. People out here, young little girls, children, teenage girls, walk around without hardly any clothes. You know what they were looking for? They were looking for somebody to love them, not lust them. It's because somebody didn't love them. They thought they could find love in some lust. And then they just became prostituted by Satan. They were so stoned, some of them were pulling off their little clothes out there and going to the bathroom right out here and wide open on the grass. It was just so animalistic and my heart just broke. They were crying, they were hurting. And every one of them were crying, somebody help me. And we're so blind we can't see it. And this whole nation, this city is sick. And there are people all over this town that need somebody just to show them Jesus loves. And we come up here in our car. We got room. And we got neighbors. And we got friends. We don't bring anybody. The greatest declarations of truth this week is going out to some of the greatest ministers, singers, preachers, counselors, leaders, church leaders gathered together and then still bound for hell. And there's so little being done to reach them. This city is crying tonight. They're hurting. And as I saw that, I said, Suzanne, that's what's wrong with people. And some of you here tonight, you're smiling on the outside. Everybody looks at you and you're fine. You've got it together. You're cool. But on the inside, every one of us that is not right with God, I don't care whether you're saved or not saved, there's something wrong in you. There's an emptiness, there's a frustration, there's a lack of peace, there's a lack of joy, there's a hurt. That's where this man was. That's where society is. They're crying. They're hurting tonight. And they're all around us, folks. Jesus came to deliver you. Jesus is here tonight. As much as he was with that man on the beaches that day, Jesus is here tonight. And you're lost in a sea of people and you think, I'm safe here in my little chair.
trying to set you free. Some ladies, when you're putting your makeup on tonight, getting ready and fixing your mascara, you didn't have any idea God was going to speak to you tonight, but he is. And some of you men, you're getting ready, you're getting ready to come over, some of you guys, you didn't have any idea God was going to deal with your heart, but he's dealing with your heart. And Jesus wants everything you are, and if he can bring you a place where you just want to say, God, I don't care what the cost is, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it, Jesus, I just want you. You'll find freedom. And I don't care what you do. You want other people to know about it. You want other people to know about it. One of our cameramen here this week, working one of our cameras right now out there in the audience with you. This week on the way up here, he was a professor in a college, and one of the students, one of our counselors in our ministry, his students led him to Christ. And in the last 2 days, he's won 2 people to Jesus. He stopped at a filling station up here. Let a guy to Christ. I had to wait 1.5 hours last night while he's witnessing people. He won another guy to Jesus yesterday. He does that because Jesus saved him and gave him life and set him free. And Jesus brought you in and I set you free. Do you understand that? You know, I have prayed, and there have been many people, hundreds or so, several hundred people who are counselors and workers and ministers and churches that have prayed for many months that the blindness of this city would be lifted, and that the blindness of many of your lives would be lifted, and that God's Spirit would have free course to touch your heart and work in your heart and show you that Jesus loves you, and that Jesus Christ is the only thing and only one that can set you free. And now I'll tell you something, listen close. God delivers you over to this place tonight, and you may be bound by sin, sex, heroin, guilt, lust, religion. But Jesus can set you free. And some of you need to come tonight and bring your dope and throw it down at this altar. Some of you need to bring your pills, your junk, your garbage. You just need to bring your life and say, God, here I am. Because you died for me, Jesus. Jesus, I want to live for you. And he'll forgive you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's got you hung up. I don't care what kind of bondage you're in tonight. Jesus Christ will set you free. If you'll but come and say, God, just like this man who came running to Jesus, I want to be free. You can experience life like you've never known it. But you've got to take it.